We are in the middle of this sermon series on practicing the presence of God. And today, fittingly for Pentecost, we're looking at the supernatural. The timing was great when Martin and Rachel and I sat down to plan this sermon series. We realized it fitted really well, and I believe that was God's provision for us. On Pentecost, of course, we remember when God poured out his spirit of power, and his spirit of peace on all people and for all time. This morning I want to look at three elements. Firstly, how to be naturally supernatural. Naturally supernatural. Secondly, that everyone gets to play. This is for everyone. And lastly, I want to look at the most controversial of the gifts that came up in our reading today, and that is praying in tongues. And I want to take that head on because it has the power to be so divisive, and I believe it was given us to unify and strengthen the body of Christ. But we'll come to that in a moment. You could well be forgiven for hearing the passages that were read today and feeling perhaps slightly detached for them, particularly as this year has been so incredibly painful. Was this just for biblical times, these extraordinary gifts, these outpouring of the Spirit? I believe we are in real danger of missing the everyday, naturally supernatural occurrences of God alive and at work through his people. I am convinced that the Bible teaches that it is perfectly normal for Christians to hear God speaking today and to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. And as we say yes to God in this, as we dare to believe what we are probably already hearing and walking in, so we begin to practice his presence at a deeper level as we step out in faith and go deeper with him. We know that when Jesus walked on earth, there was an extraordinary power flowing through him. Mike Pilavachi of Soul Survivor Watford, who I'm indebted to for this sermon, Everyday Supernatural by Mike Pilavachi and Andy Croft, is a superb book. If you want to look into this more, I recommend that to you. Mike Pilavachi says this: it was a power that saw lepers cleansed, storms calmed, demons driven away, blind eyes opened, the dead raised, and lives transformed. The result of the miracles of Jesus was not that people were just awed. It was that they knew they were loved. And that is the critical point. They weren't just awed. They knew they were loved. And that is why we talk about this stuff. That's why we press into this topic, even though it takes us out of our comfort zones. Because the supernatural has the power to cut through the material of this world and can become our natural. God's loving power is deep at work within all of us and can work through us and out of us. And love is our motivation. That is why we press into this stuff. God's power can set people free. And that is in line with his purposes. Secondly, everyone gets to play. This is for everyone. That book opens with these brilliant words: we have a world to win for Jesus. There is a kingdom to be built, and we cannot do it in our strength. Jesus encouraged his disciples to wait on the power of the Spirit, to be filled, to be his witness. We've heard the reading today from Acts that sets this up, and we'll be coming back to that when we speak about tongues in a moment. But later on, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, of course, we're only hearing half of that conversation, as it is a letter to a worshiping community. But Paul points out that they are overemphasizing the more showy of the gifts. They're boasting. They're claiming credit for the gifts of the Spirit that they're walking in. Paul wants them to know, this is a dangerous enterprise indeed. All good things come from God. All good things. And Paul deliberately sets out to level the playing field here. He says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. No one can profess Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit has met with you and filled you and given you that ability. This is seriously inclusive stuff. Everyone who professes Jesus is Lord has the Spirit living within them. Everyone gets to play. The words in the Greek that are used here are pneumaton, which means spirit, but also charisma, which means gifts of grace. Not rewards, not trophies, gifts of grace. We cannot be proud of any of the gifts that we walk in because they were given to us through the grace of God. We haven't earned this stuff. We cannot earn this stuff. And the great news is that means that it is for all of us as well. No matter how far we've fallen or broken we are, the gift of the Spirit is for us all. Mike points out in his book, it would be as ridiculous to boast about having a gift of the Spirit as it would be to boast about the color of your eyes. It is something outside of our control. It is a gift from God, not a trophy. But it can be a tool. It can be a tool that is used for building the kingdom of God, for bringing the mind-blowing news of the love of Jesus to our community. So I want to ask you this morning, what gifts are in your toolkit? Because you have one. If you are a professing Christian, you have the gifts of the Spirit, and you may be walking in them more naturally than you realize today. This is naturally supernatural stuff. Do you ever have an insight into a situation? There's perhaps a fraction or a division, and you can see a solution to that problem. Perhaps that would be a little bit different, a bit more unifying, a bit more healing. That is the gift of wisdom. Well done. Walk in that gift. Exercise that gift. Do you have a way of strengthening people? An encouraging word just when someone needs it. Perhaps you see someone's potential in Christ in a way that may not be obvious to everyone at that point. Well done, you have the gift of prophecy. Walk in that gift. Many of you after the APCM got in touch to share such a word with me about where you see the Lord leading. That strengthened and encouraged me. Thank you for your generosity in sharing that gift. It builds up the church as we build up one another. Do you ever look on a situation and think, hang on, there's more to this than meets the eye? You get a sense of a lack of peace. Something isn't quite right here. Perhaps you have the gift of discerning the spirits. God gently and lovingly steering us through life in accordance with his perfect plan for us. Perhaps you've done something that just didn't make a lot of sense, but you had a really deep conviction, a real pull within you. This was the right thing to do. That is the gift of faith. Well done. Walk in it. We can be naturally supernatural. I preached very recently on healing, so I won't go into that now, but many of you I know have that gift. Thank you. We are naturally supernatural beings as we profess Christ. The gifts are for everyone. And God is a loving Father who longs to lavish his gifts on his people. Really important point of note. Not all the gifts are for all the people. If we all had all the gifts, we wouldn't need each other. That wouldn't be the body of Christ. God gives us different gifts and different callings so that we would continue to need each other, so that we would have to turn to one another for help. Conspicuous by its absence, of course, from the list above is the gift of tongues, which I'm coming to now. And I want to take this head on because I find it absolutely heartbreaking how divisive among believing brothers and sisters this gift has become, how controversial it's become so unnecessarily. The gift was given by God to unite and to bond his people in love, given to all believers who are gifted from God. Not all believers have all the gifts, but it was given to unite and to bond. Good communication is really, really important. We know that, and as a church, it's something that we're really working to improve because we need to understand one another. If we don't understand one another, we can't be in relationship. And God is love, and he is relationship. So we need to be able to understand one another. I believe the gift of tongues was given as a reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament. If you recall, there was a tower that was built by people as an act of pride and of self-congratulations. It became an enterprise, the point of which was to show other people how mighty and powerful they were. And the result of this prideful action was a huge split among the people. They began to speak different languages, and the split grew. They could no longer understand one another because they were speaking in different languages. The division between them was rife. At Pentecost, the gift of tongues was given so that there would be a way of supernaturally understanding one another, coming back together in love, connected. So why has it had the opposite effect? Why is there so much hurt and misunderstanding around this topic? I want to look at two possible reasons for that today. And there are many more I'm sure you can think of. And then I want to share a couple of stories that I hope illustrate why it is such a beautiful gift of God. So firstly, can everyone pray in tongues, as is often taught? I don't believe so. I don't believe everyone can, for the reason that I've given already. Why would we need each other? We are given different gifts so that we have to lean on each other, learn to be blessed by one another. We need one another, and God did that deliberately. That was in his design. Not all the gifts are for all the people. And there is no hierarchy within gifts. And I know many Christians and perhaps even denominations have been guilty in the past of implying that that is the case. But there is no hierarchy within the spiritual gifts. The gift of administration is just as glorious, and many would argue perhaps more useful than the gift of tongues or the gift of prophecy or knowledge. Gifts are not a reflection of your faith. The type of gift you're walking in is not a reflection of your relationship with God. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The most faithful Christian man I know is my husband. He doesn't pray in tongues, and he's completely comfortable with that. It is no reflection of his faith. I do think more people have the gift than realize, and I want to talk more about that in a moment. But secondly, another myth I would like to address this morning around this gift is that it is not a form of possession that overtakes you against your will suddenly in a frightening way. God never forces. That's not who he is. He is love. He is gentle. The word here is paraclete. That means helper. The Spirit is a helper. He is one that comes gently alongside, never forcing, never overtaking, not as a form of possession. If there is no overcoming or forcing on God's part, that suggests there is a stepping out on our part. And that's a real step of courage because some of us will have the gift and some of us won't, and that's absolutely fine. But there is a real step of faith in that. As you know, I consider one of God's greatest gifts a very strong cup of black coffee, and it is a gift from God. But if I want that coffee, I still have to get up, walk into the kitchen, and make it. God is working with me and through me to give me that gift. There are also other people involved in that process, from bean to cup. Others have bought me that coffee that day. And so it is as we step out in the gifts. We spur each other on. We encourage each other. We bless each other and pray for each other. A friend of mine was a very new Christian when he attended a church weekend away, and they were talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And there was a call from the front, if anyone would like to receive one of the gifts of the Spirit or any that God was giving, to come forward and to pray. And he really wanted to be able to pray in tongues. So he went and stood with the vicar, who said, of course, I'll pray with you. And they prayed together, and the vicar said, so what's going to happen now is I'm going to pray in tongues and you're going to join in. And this guy looked sort of slightly wide-eyed and said, okay. And so the vicar began to pray in this beautiful angelic language. And my friend opened his mouth and began to talk. And very, very, very falteringly at first, the words came, and the vicar was there cheering him on, saying, keep going, keep going, keep going. And as he did, the words came more and more, and then came the tears, and then came the joy, as he realized he was speaking in this beautiful, supernatural, naturally angelic language. But what's the point? What is the point? Why would God give us this if not to demonstrate supernatural prowess? Well, unity and good understanding is one, and I want to come to that again in a moment. But firstly, I want to say, because it gives us a language with which to pour our hearts out to God when English or whatever language our mother tongue is simply will not do. And I want to share a story with you now at a time when I have been so extraordinarily grateful to be able to pray in this way. And just as a heads up, it is a very difficult story. And if you are in the early stages of pregnancy, you may wish not to listen at this point. Finn and I had been married for 5 weeks when we discovered I was pregnant. We had got married when I was 32, so I very deliberately decided that we weren't going to be hanging about. We wanted a family, and so we carried on. Came as something as a surprise, though, when at 5 weeks we realized we were indeed expecting our little baby Bean. I was wildly in love with my unborn baby. There had been many times through the course of my Christian journey I didn't know if I would ever get to be a mother, because marriage came a little later. There was this extraordinary few weeks where I was sick to my stomach. I was so much nausea, but it was mixed with so much joy as we began to talk and plan and buy baby grows. And I got a Mother's Day card from my unborn baby Bean. It was one of the darkest moments of my life, when at the 12-week scan, we were told there was no heartbeat. I had to go to the bathroom, and then they said they would check again to be absolutely sure. And I went and I locked myself in and I prayed my heart out in tongues as the tears poured down my face. And nothing, nothing to this day could remove the extraordinary grief of that moment. But I have never been so grateful to be able to pour my heart out to God without having to find the words, just to pour my pain out before him and to meet with him in that place. But I want to end on a note of hope and joy and celebration that is appropriate for Pentecost. I want to share an example of God's love and his power cutting through the material of our world by the naturally supernatural. Flashback a few years in my Christian journey. I was a new Christian, and I had had the most heady 6 months with Jesus. Everything was good. I was disgustingly in love. The sun shone more clearly, the birds sung more beautifully, and the flowers were glorious. And then the rubber hit the road, and I realized that actually, it's not always easy in the Christian life. In fact, sometimes it's harder. And I'll spare you the details, but I was not in a great place. I didn't feel loved by God at all. But I dragged myself to home group that night because I just kind of had a feeling I needed to be there. I walked into the room and my home group leader, Phil, took one look at me and said, "Do you mind if we just pray for you before we begin tonight?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd really like that, thank you." And I did share with my group, I just don't feel God's love at the moment. So they began to pray for me. They just gathered around me. My friend Ali very gently put a hand on my shoulder, and she began praying, and she just said, "Jenny, I really pray that you would know God's love. I really pray that you would know his love." And I'll be honest with you, I felt nothing. I felt so empty and bereft. And very quietly, she began praying in tongues over me. And this beautiful heavenly language sort of poured out of her. And then I opened my eyes and looked at Ali, who still had her eyes closed and was praying very quietly, because the language had changed from a heavenly language into something else. The words she was praying were doikariadi, 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 which is Welsh for I love you, I love you, I love you. I could have been told 5,000 times over that evening, no, God really does love you. He really does love you. And so hard and high were my walls that I would not have believed it. It took the power of something naturally supernatural cutting through my defenses for me to believe, truly believe, that little Ali, who was a Londoner and I don't believe had ever been to Wales, was given the gift of speaking that beautiful language that means so much to me just for a moment in time, so God could make it abundantly clear that he loved me. And that's what this is about. The gifts are given for our uniting, our bonding, and our love for one another. So let us pursue the presence of God boldly. This Pentecost, let's invite the Spirit of God to come to unsettle us, to disturb us, to take us out of our comfort zones, yes, to fill us with his power, to walk in his gifts, not because we want to wow people or brag, because we want them to know they are loved by him. And the Spirit of God enables us to do that. Do you long to see God use you? I know I do. Do you long to see his power set people free, to see their chains break off? Do you want the words that you speak to bring a revelation of that love, the love of Jesus, to people's hearts and minds? Let's be ambitious for the gospel. Let's pursue the presence of God and walk in his Spirit-filled ways. Because when the church wakes up, the power of God is unstoppable, and his ministry to this town and beyond will be transformed. I invite you to stand now. Before we say the words of the creed together, we are just going to wait on the Spirit of God for a moment and make space for him to come and fill us. So I invite you to close your eyes.